Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Episode 6 of Yellow Jackets, Key is over, but we are just getting started talking about it here on Post Show Recaps. It's the Yellow Jackets podcast. I am Jess Sterling here with my co-host, who gave me her goldfish to take care of for just today, Grace Leader.
Don't kill it. I saw you holding it in your hand. It's supposed to be in the water.
The little blip it did with his mouth was so sad.
Yeah. As we talked about with Nicole, what is the name? Gilly the...
The 14th Gilly. So,
yeah, you almost need to make me get her a Gilly the 15th. Yeah.
Might need a 15th Gilly. She did feed it after, at the very least.
That's true. You know.
Yeah. So at the top of the podcast, we are going to get into some really sensitive topics. So just be aware of that. Major spoilers ahead. If you got here by accident, just go watch the episode first and then return, because I'm about to give you some major spoilers. Okay, you've had enough time. If you haven't watched the episode, so yeah, we're going to be discussing birth complications, as well as stillbirth. If any of those topics are difficult for you, please just take care of yourself. We'll have some resources listed in the show notes if you or someone you know needs help with any of those things. This episode, Grace, was so much. I really wish that they had given us the break between 6 and 7, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then they did this thing where I kind of had gotten a heads up. I had accidentally clicked a spoiler tag, and you literally didn't say anything. You just said, this is a tough one, and you put in spoiler tags. I accidentally clicked it. And I actually found that was quite helpful for me, because I knew during all of the la-di-da that, like, there's another note that we haven't hit yet that has to be the disaster that is this episode. And so I felt like that was really helpful. I'm really surprised. I mean, it could be, I think Showtime might have been one of the people who did, one of the networks who did do some of these content warnings. And it might have been that, just like, as we are privileged people watching screeners, that we really didn't get anything. I'm not sure what will be on the television or when the episode drops on streaming. But yes, I think that especially I think for you, Jess, where it is so, like, it's celebratory near the end, and that turns out to be Shauna imagining all that, only to then give us a sort of nightmarish reveal, and then that to be revealed to be a nightmare, but there's still something bad that has happened, is a really sad way to end the episode.
Yeah, and I think we all... Even though I think most of the discourse I've seen has been, well, obviously the baby will be stillborn, or like the baby doesn't make it out of the wilderness in some way, shape, or form, I think most people were kind of on that page. You know, we've seen some of the, oh, this person is Shauna's secret baby, or, you know, we've seen some theories like that, but I think most people kind of assume that would happen. And I got to be honest, Grace, when I saw, like, okay, blood and placenta coming out first, I've seen enough of, like, Grey's Anatomy and other shows to be like, probably not a great sign that placenta is coming out first. But then, you know, the show showed me a baby, and I thought, okay, a little weird, but sure.
Baby. I always love
big babies
that aren't the baby that was clearly born. Like, nobody's like, if you are, I don't know. I don't know what I think of you, but taking your baby exactly from being born to be like, we got to get this baby on the big screen.
Yeah. Baby was a big baby.
Big baby.
And it was just, it was really sad. Obviously on multiple levels, because we see Shauna struggle to breastfeed the baby, right? So Sophie and Elise, I have to say, for as much as this episode was, like, so extremely difficult to watch, and it's certainly not one of my favorite episodes for probably obvious reasons, Sophie and Elise absolutely knocked it out of the park. Like, you could see every single emotion, every change in emotion on her face. Like, I was just so impressed by her this episode. But it made it that much harder to watch when she's struggling to breastfeed the baby. And then you have Lottie we'll get into all of that. Lottie breastfeeding the baby. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that, like, no, all of this was a dream. And I will say, like, I did feel like it got a bit gratuitous. And I usually don't say this about the show. I feel like they're usually fairly good about
what
they're
showing us.
You mean
when they ate a baby?
Yeah, like, watching Ty just like nom.
I thought it was Ben being like, I know I didn't eat Jackie, but I'm still eating here, little baby.
Yeah,
like, oh no.
It was so awful. And like that part I figured was kind of a dream, but then she wakes up from like that whole thing was a dream, and it turns out she lost the baby, and it is like so awful. And even if we were all expecting it, it doesn't stop it from being just so awful to watch. It was heartbreaking, especially because that's how we end the episode, is Shauna saying like, oh, you can't you hear him crying? And there's not the big thing of the needle drop like we usually get with Yellow Jackets. It kind of just goes out on her saying that over and over.
Yeah, it's tough. I thought that I think that this is an episode, you know, that this, there's a thing that happened when another show had a lot of scenes, a few in the season, about just how hard childbirth is, which is House of the Dragon. And I remember there being a little bit of like, oh my gosh, do we need to see this? And again, I don't mean to like sit here and be like, oh my gosh, the plight of the podcaster, like our job is so hard. It's not. We get to like watch TV and we get to watch it early. So like, you know, I'm very happy that I get to do that. But it does put us in this position of like, yeah, I'm not sure. And especially as somebody who can't, or you know, technology not there for me to be giving birth yet. You know, does not that, you know, I'm intrigued to hear how people weigh in, because there is certainly the thing. And I think content warnings is probably the thing that needs to help. I know some people around House of the Dragon Time talked about, can we just put a QR code? And if you want content warnings, you put the QR code and you scan it, and like you could like even customize it. That's like, I only want content warnings for like, you know, this specific thing of like miscarriage. Yeah. And then you scan it and it's like, yep, that's in this episode, just so you know. And so, but the thing that happened, there was also this sentiment of like, yeah, giving birth is not easy. It's not going to be easy in the wilderness. I know during the fantasy scenes, fantasy, I don't know if you can call it like my baby won't breastfeed from me fantasy, but she eventually, my baby eventually does. But they're talking about how malnourished she is, how malnourished Shauna would be, which would be why it'd be very hard to breastfeed. And so there was this feeling of like, yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's hard to watch. And on the other hand, it is a thing that happens and still happens. And pregnancy can still be dangerous. Pregnancy is still particularly dangerous for like Black women in America in particular. So, and all of these other groups that are more at risk. So on one hand, I'm like, yeah, it's awful. But I also think that, you know, I thought that the stuff with Shauna in the interrogation room and how that plays into
timing,
you know, one of the master class of shows that do these multiple timelines is the way that like something years down the line can like, you know, we can flash back to the to those moments that really like, how come this person is saying these words? And when she's saying like, you know, I just didn't want a child, I think that that still could be true about Callie. And there's also the world in which this is not true. She's just lying to the police. But I also think there's definitely that like she is actually speaking about this baby that she lost in the moment. She mm-hmm. says in the sort of like fictional, you know, dreamscape, nightmarish scenario, she is talking about, she's like, I'm sorry, I said I never wanted you. So from that aspect, I thought that stuff is all really powerful. I think to your point, it's the one scene, right? It's everybody eating a baby that you're like, yeah, this is the show we're going to talk about on the podcast. Yeah. Is how when they all ate a baby, which they didn't do, but is still horrific and grotesque. And in the moment, they definitely want you to think they're eating a baby. So
yes. Okay, let's do a quick plot recap before we dive too deep into all of this stuff. So let's start there. Season 2, Episode 6 of Yellow Jackets, Qui, or Who in French, picks up where we left off 2 weeks ago, Shauna is in labor, but maybe let's focus on some of the other storylines first. Misty is the star she always wanted to be once the other cultists realize she knows Lottie and Nat, and she absorbs every ounce of fandom that she can. Nat, meanwhile, has lost her touch as a markswoman and gets some advice from Lisa about how suffering is inevitable and you should meet it with compassion. Nat nearly kills Lisa's fish, but instead dons some hot heliotrope-colored clothing and heads out to meet Van and Ty, who have made the trek to the compound after Misty gave them the heads up that Lottie is no longer in a mental institution. Van has no interest in staying, but gets sucked in by Lottie's appearance. Lottie goes back to therapy, where she posits that she's never been ill, and that the quote-unquote wilderness sent the Yellow Jackets back to her to show her that everything out there was real, that there was a power or a god in that place, and that they brought it back with them. Lottie approaches the rest of the group, and it is revealed that the cult compound is laid out to look exactly like the symbol. Okay, back to the rough stuff. Shauna's birth has complications, and she delivers her placenta first. She eventually passes out from losing too much blood and dreams that she gives birth to a healthy boy. She struggles to feed him at first. Speaking of feeding, she also dreams that the rest of the Yellow Jackets drug her and eat her baby. Shauna wakes up to the news of her baby actually being a stillbirth. And that's where we leave our Yellow Jackets this week. Mm-hmm. So
let's start. Can I pause it somewhere to start?
Yes.
Which is I have one thing to admit that I'm wrong, that I kept being like, it was so weird how last season they were never concerned about Lottie. And in this episode, they're like, oh no, Lottie isn't in a mental institution. Like, oh yeah, that's right. They just like assumed she was drugged and like wasn't speaking and all of this stuff.
Yes.
So that, you know, kudos to the show for like giving, you know, reminding me as an audience. The thing that I thought was very interesting coming to this episode is that we do not pick up from what Van and Lottie went to go to. We're not supposed to be here, and the kiss and whatever, we skip all of that. We resume in Van's home slash
while you were streaming. Yeah.
Yes. While you were streaming, they're rewinding some videotapes and sorting. And it's like, yeah, you said we weren't supposed to be in the right place and you tried to kiss me, but yeah, pretty normal, chill night other than that. And I don't believe them.
Oh, you think there is something that happened that evening that we don't know about right now?
Yeah. I'm still very much on Van is something. There's more to Van than we are being shown at the moment. She maybe even is very excited by the possibility of when Ty does go into her alter ego, because she's going to do stuff that she's not, I don't know what she's doing, but I feel like very suspicious to be like, so what a wild night, and not see anything that happened the night before. Did they just eat dirt? Were they just eating dirt together?
No. So I don't think, okay, based on Van's reaction to seeing Lottie at the end of the episode, which we'll say so beyond thrilled to have the Yellow Jackets all together in the present time. Like, I will say, as much as this episode was very difficult to watch and like certainly not one of my favorite episodes, them being reunited at the end was like, okay, yes, amazing.
Yeah, they were all lined up and they were a literal murderer's row.
yes. So no, I agree with you that like certainly something probably happened. I don't think it has anything to do with Lottie, just because of how like surprised and like the look on Van's face in the present day made it seem like, okay, she hasn't seen Lottie in a very long time. What do you think about this, Grace? What do you think about Ty's altar, you know, Issa, as we like to call her? What if Van has found it easier to release secrets or tell secrets, confide in Ty's altar? What if she did tell the altar, like, oh, by the way, I'm sick with cancer or I have an addiction. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell Ty. Like, what if she was able to unburden herself of all of these things to the altar, knowing that when Ty wakes up the next morning, she's not going to know any of it?
I'm with you. I think the big piece for me, though, is like, we're not where we're supposed to be. And they leave. They like go to leave.
They leave the apartment. So, yeah.
Where'd they go? That's my big question. I also love Thaisa so accurately shades Van as Van says they're driving to the compound. Says, do you want to come in? She goes, no, I don't like to live in the past. And Thaisa says, you own a videotape rental store.
Yeah.
This is very funny. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like I, you know, every time I come on a podcast, I feel like I have these predictions and I'm like, all right, so we're going to see where Van and Ty go. And Ty's going to be in her alter ego. And then we, in the next episode, it's like, so that happened last night and we didn't get to see any of it. And that makes me very, very suspicious. Does not quell any of my concerns that Van has more to do with, I would agree, not necessarily with Lottie, but of awakening the spirits, bringing back the spirits, something like that. I feel like Van is still on.
Oh no, watch out for the puppies in the neighborhood. Oh no.
I know. Just still high on my list of, you know, yeah. I guess the one piece that like doesn't add up there is that Van has bills that she's owing. It comes up, right. Thaisa notices the bills and asks, and you think that like that's the type of thing that the blood sacrifice should do, is like come in, like the video store should be successful, provides, as you come in money, right. But I do think the fact that she's taking pills for something else, like it could be she might be doing cancer treatment or whatever else it is Van, does Van actually, is there something more pressing that's important for Van to use some sort of blood sacrifice to answer her troubles, that's not her store, is her store not that important to her in the long run, because there's something much more pressing like cancer or any other sort of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Especially because when they have this conversation in the video store about like what happened the night before, Ty is trying to figure out who is the we that her alter referred to. She's like, could it be us? And Van gets very defensive of like, there is no us.
Yeah.
That's not true. Like, that's not a thing.
It makes me being like, are you guys dating? No, she's dropping me off.
So I will say, I know that because there's a joke that Ty makes about Miss Congeniality and whether or not it falls into Sandy Good or Sandy Bad. That is a movie that came out in 2000.
Oh, come on. That's a,
so,
oh yeah, right. Good call.
So like, does that mean, okay, so that means that in order for Van to have this rant, they would have had to have been together in 2000, which means that that's 2 years after they get back, right, from the wilderness.
And they were at Jeff and Shauna's wedding.
Exactly.
It seems like they're like good for a bit before they're not good.
Exactly. Now, I get the big vibes of like when they're in the car and they're talking about like, oh, are you dating? How are you? Like, are you trying to be happy? Are you dating? Van says, I get my needs met. She's on some apps, strictly casual. And Van, like, it seems like Ty is like, I just want to make sure you're not giving up on love. And Van says, maybe I have, but don't flatter yourself. It's not because of you. So like, this is very interesting to me that Ty at some point in her life moved on, got married, had a kid, all that stuff. While as Van seems like really messed up about it in that she hasn't seemingly had like serious relationships sense all of that. So it definitely feels like there's more going on with Van than meets the eye, which I think is pretty obvious to say, but I'm most excited for what is going to happen now that all these yellow jackets are in the same place, especially Van and some of the others, especially Lottie specifically. That is what I want to know about, because that look on her face when Lottie turns around like the Greek goddess that so she dramatic. Is, so right? Dramatic.
Yeah.
She has this like flowing blue dress thingy on and she's just like, yeah, she walks like she owns the place, which I guess she does.
I was trying to look up dating apps to see if I could come up with a pun in terms of like which like is the best one for like cult or cannibalism. I Hinge could be like binge eating, I don't know, but then I was like, no, every we know which app any yellow jacket will use, right, Jess?
Oh, it's Bumble.
It's Bumble. It's obviously Bumble. They all use Bumble, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, their story is super interesting. I do you think we're gonna get a flashback to that moment between Van and Issa from the night before? Do we think we're gonna see that at all? Or is it just gonna be like reference to it at some point?
I would have to ask you or our lovely listeners to remind me if we've ever seen like in the modern day, have we seen like a flashback? Because I feel like what they do instead of a flashback is like, we didn't need to flashback to Thaisa killing the dog. We have like her wife, like Simone, find the dog, right?
So I mean, like, the only time I can think of is in the same episode when we realized that Ty was imagining Sammy was there the whole time.
Glitter Man as well. We get a few, like, I feel like we get some scenes of like
A little bit. I guess it's possible.
These like little brief moments, I guess the answer is like, yes, whether or not we'll find out, I think either it will be like cut to in like weird memory phasey, like imaging of like them doing something weird or whatever they're doing, or we stumble upon like the information of like what they did through some other means, like Thaisa stumbling across like a, you know, another dead dog or whatever, and is just like, uh oh, I think I did that with like that type of thing. So I definitely think what they got up to, I certainly think can be part of the story moving forward. Yeah. But I definitely agree with you. This, like, you know, the Yellow Jackets reunion. I know last season we got a reunion, but this feels like this full reunion now that we have Lottie and Van in the mix as well. And it just, mm-hmm. that's so much star power in ensembled on
the place, almost exploded with the energy of that stardom there. Yeah.
But it is Lottie in this weird, you know, she's like on the, I mean, interestingly, this is the first time Nat has changed into the clothes.
Yes.
She's wearing the purple clothing and they're all lined up and they've arrived. And then Lottie giving the really dramatic turnaround, slow reveal, walkover, mm-hmm. and the shot of that the compound has been built in the shape of the symbol was all really, really good. It's really, really fun.
Yeah. Great reveal. Let's stick with Lottie a little bit and talk about, so she goes back to her therapist, and I do want to comment on the way this scene was shot, mm-hmm. where we are sitting behind the therapist, kind of like over their shoulder, mm-hmm. and we slowly zoom in on Lottie. And again, this therapist is so sus to me. We haven't seen their face since the very first time that she saw that therapist, which I thought
was interesting. She's like hired for the compound? Like Lottie has her therapist live on site?
I don't think so, because she travels off site. She goes in like normie clothes, you know, she was wearing like jeans and stuff.
Right.
But she says, so she says all of this stuff about how like, maybe I've never been ill. Maybe it's always just been these visions. And it was us. It was a part of us, the power of that place. And she talks about, and we see it in this episode, obviously, when Shauna is giving birth, Travis takes down the animal skull and they kind of make their quote unquote offerings to it. Right. And Lottie says, we did terrible things in its name. And I thought when we were rescued, we left it there. But now I realize that we brought it back with us. This is fascinating that like they're treating this wilderness / darkness as like a god of sorts. And it's interesting to me, Grace, like trying to fill in some pieces, some gaps in our knowledge of like, okay, we know that Lottie is saying we did terrible things in its name. But we also know that they make all these offerings and everything to it. And yet the baby is still born still, right? Like it is whatever they didn't work.
And
yet they obviously kept believing if she's saying they did terrible things in his name later on.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is really interesting, actually, a point that I hadn't really thought about in terms of a stillbirth being that it's really one of the moose falls away as well. Like there are these things. And I think I do like this because obviously you can't have like the wilderness. I think that this is a more compelling story of and I think the way in which a lot of people there is what their relationship with faith is, you know, is that not everything needs to go right or the way you want it to all the time to be able to sort of fully believe and have faith that, you know, actually the reason why, like, you know, the way a lot of people explain these awful things that happen, if there is a God, how could a God do those? And it's to like test us or challenge us. And I think that what they, you know, it'd be interesting to see from just like a faith perspective is what their reaction to the rest of them, what their reaction to the baby, you know, not living is in terms of what is the wilderness trying to tell them in that moment, that it might be that was never supposed to be the thing that would help you. In fact, that would have been that, you know, we joked, I think a few weeks ago about like somebody, I think it's in the last episode where Thaisa says like, don't worry, your pregnancy will be over. And we're like, yeah, but then you have a baby, like for like, you know, you take care of a baby. And the reason we were joking about that, which seems very sad now, but was like, having a baby in the wilderness will also not be, it's not like that will be easy.
Right.
And so if there is some sort of, you know, this is awful, Shauna didn't want a baby. And like, you know, that is an awful thing. And again, I so much credit to I want to get
Sophie Nalisse.
Sophie Nalisse, in terms of being able to perform this and the complicated things. And again, I actually think this is like, you know, a really interesting timing for the episode with, like, you know, pregnancy, Roe versus Wade in the United States. And this idea that, like, she didn't want the baby. And, you know, we saw a scene last season where she tries to not have the baby. They tried to, like, do an abortion, and that does not work. And so she's carrying out this birth, and how, like, this idea that, like, this is not the happy outcome that, like, Shauna wants, right? This is an awful situation to have to, like, you went through with a pregnancy. You might not have wanted the baby, but also, like, now the baby didn't live. So it's like, I don't know, it's this really tragic story, but how will the Yellow Jackets, you know, how will they make sense of this? And if the wilderness clearly is not something that they are willing to get rid of, even in the wake of the baby not living, then what will their response to that be? I think is a tremendously, like, interesting thing to analyze on the show.
Yeah, I do agree with you in terms of, I think we could see it almost, I'm trying to think, right? Like, religion is a very tricky thing. Faith is a very tricky thing. And sometimes when you go through something like extreme loss, depression, right? All of those things, people do turn to faith to help them. 100%. And so we could see that, despite the fact that Lottie is saying, like, oh, to Travis, like, oh, the wilderness recognizes your sacrifice, and so do I, when he bleeds on the skull. Mm-hmm. Even though it doesn't work in the way that they intended it to, right? Lottie is the one who's very excited about the baby. She even says to Misty, like, we need your help. Shauna needs your help for our baby. You can save our baby. She does not say Shauna's baby, our baby.
Right.
So even though it doesn't work out like they expect it to, it could lead to them turning to faith as a way to help them get through. Like, we've seen Travis mention a lot of times of, like, we're going to need something more than food to get us through this winter.
Yep.
This is a big, and Shauna, I think, is the sole person at this point, besides Nat, I guess I would also say, the two people are Shauna and Nat, who are, like, the only two really not attending Lottie's, like, prayer circle at this point. Mm-hmm. Well, going through what Shauna's
going through.
And
Crystal hasn't been around to go to the prayer circle.
Right? Crystal was supposed to be there through the birth.
Very tardy.
We were going to sing a song. But yeah, so we could see that be their return to faith. Or their turn to faith, I should say.
I mean, so the other thing is, like, you actually didn't, I mean, and this is awful, and this is where it could get very evil, which is, you didn't sacrifice enough.
That's why the baby didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you know, you thought you were sacrificing. Well, the answer is, we actually didn't sacrifice enough to make sure that this baby lived.
Shauna, this is your fault. You didn't believe.
I mean,
you didn't attend the prayer circle, right?
Awful, like, as that would be. Yeah, that's, you know,
we could,
like, yeah,
see
you
it
didn't
happen.
Offer enough to for the good thing to have happened is the,
that's
like,
why
other
I'm,
very cynical way yeah. religion sometimes works.
That's why I am very interested in seeing Shauna and Lottie reunite in the present time, because it's been tense between them, to say the least. Mm-hmm. At least in the time we are seeing in the wilderness currently. We don't know what happens after, but I do want to discuss this, like, right, we get this dream sequence of Shauna has the baby. She's struggling to feed it again. Like you said, she's very malnourished. Nat even says it. She's like, of course you're struggling. I mean, I've heard stories of, like, it being very difficult to breastfeed, regardless of if you're malnourished. Yeah. Like, that is a very difficult thing. It's not as simple as, like, TVs and movies of old would have shown you it to be. And we get this scene of Shauna is sleeping. She wakes up. The baby isn't next to her. And Lottie is breastfeeding the baby and singing Frère Jacques, which is like a French lullaby. Is fascinating.
I know Frère Jacques very well. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, French Canadian, right? Canadians is probably, oui, oui. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Also, babies, not the song.
But this is so strange. And Lottie says, like, oh, well, he needs to eat, you know? Was like so much for me when I was like, Lottie, this is way too far. Like,
but it's not Lottie.
I know. It's Shauna. Like, it's so, but, like, my question to you is, Grace, like, okay, all of this is like a dream sequence, right? Like, or you know, but is there a supernatural impact? Because there is so much with Lottie and like the French of it all, right? The title is key, which is who in French. Like, there's so much Frenchness.
I want to ask who is this episode.
Who is the who? Is it the baby?
I don't know. So I think this is really fascinating because I don't think we'll, might not be for a long time before we know, like, is there any truth to this at all? Or is this 100% Shauna's psyche? And what is actually potentially causing as much of a rift of, yes, Lottie is like singing to the baby. And I think don't sing to the baby. I think if a woman who's pregnant is sleeping, this happens. I was singing to a baby on the bus, the pregnant woman, and she said, stop. So I know you're not supposed to sing to a baby. I'm just kidding. I didn't. I think you should not do this. I think that wavers into the consent. Get consent to sing to the baby before you ask the person touching the women's stomachs, all of this stuff. So I think that, yes, she is acting weird. I also feel like there's a chance that all of this stuff that Shauna is going through is also, and Lottie becoming a leader of the sorts and putting so much on the idea that the baby is going to be born and be some sort of savior or important part of their community, that I think Shauna might also be like creating a rift between them. And I feel like the dream psyche moment is Shauna feeling like Lottie is overstepping her bounds, which she like is, but she's not, like the baby is not born, but she's not breastfeeding the baby. But Shauna can imagine a world where if she had her baby, Lottie would try to breastfeed the baby. So to me, in terms of it being a supernatural event, I lean less like that, because I feel like if the super, unless it's trying to tell Shauna, you need to be the leader, which is another piece I keep saying, and I apologize, like I come on here every week and I'm like, but actually our main cast are the bad ones, because there's a world where as Lottie is trying to like, is put into a little bit of a leadership position. And now we've had potentially, I'm not saying this, but in the world of yellow, a catastrophic failure that was supposed to be the savior baby, and the baby doesn't live. Is this a failure of leadership on Lottie? And Lottie gets pushed out. And I feel like the way that I could explain modern day Lottie is if she felt that, like, she could actually be a good leader, and for 30 years she has not actually had to deal with any supernatural stuff. What if she's in the way that like Nat thinks that she has something under her sleeve, right? What if this is just like,
yeah,
look, I'm just using the skills that, like, you know, Mari thought I would be good at being elite. And look, I'm helping all of these people. And why that might be in the modern day, Lottie is sort of a cult leader. It's like, if she gets pushed out of being the leader of the Yellow Jackets community, and this is where the supernatural piece is, like, is Shauna having this? Is the wilderness telling Shauna, like, stop letting Lottie, like, be in charge? Like, Lottie shouldn't be in charge. You know, I think there's a lot there.
It's certainly possible, because the reason I was leaning on possibly supernatural stuff is because I feel like anytime Lottie is doing anything to do with the French language, there's always something there, right? Because all I can remember is from season one where they say, Lottie doesn't know French.
Right.
Like, I mean, not that I don't know French. I know Frère Jacques, right? Like, this is not like, you don't need to know French to know a lullaby. But at the same time, Shauna's imagining that. And I totally agree with you. We could see something where there is a lot of getting dethroned because people like Mari, people like, you know, some of the others you didn't save the baby. Like, this is your fault, Lottie. Not Shauna's fault, but Lottie's fault. Because
how tragic would that be for, like, that's tragic for both of them.
I mean, yeah. Shauna, right? Especially you think about it from Shauna's point of view of, like, I'm the one who lost a baby. Like, you know, but
right, which would push them even further away from each other. That's really fascinating.
It's all very interesting. Like, yeah. And so, yeah. So we have this again, a huge credit to Sophie Nalisse and her performance this episode, because it was all so just heartbreaking. And even when I had to rewatch this episode, which is like just truly awful. I don't ever want to have to see this episode again just because of how hard it is to watch. But like her saying, like, I can still hear him crying. Can't you hear him crying? Was just so brutal.
Don't like it. Too sad.
But let's jump in forward in time and talk about kind of the connective tissue here, which is Callie and Shauna having to go down to the police department. Where Shauna gets a call. They need to go in for questioning. Jeff, of course, thinks it's the two of them, but no, Callie is involved. Jeff is really upset.
Jeff has a couple of really good reactions. He's so good at reacting like absurdly. And he has two of them this episode. When
Are you talking about when he's sitting in his car listening to F the police?
Yes, right outside the police station. But then also when she comes out and she's like, so I like said I was dating Adam. And he's like, what the hell, Shauna? It's so funny. He's so good.
It's really, really good. Now, the interesting aspect of this is, so Shauna goes in and she tells Callie, like, listen, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't break the law. And Callie's like, well, actually, I lied to a cop, you know, mom. But it's very interesting because she says, don't even think about it talking to my daughter alone. And I don't know about you, but I was like, isn't this illegal? Like, Callie is a minor. Are they allowed to question her alone?
Yeah, we could get lawyers weighing in. I think the idea is that, like, you bring them in and then you just see if they're and they can at any time just ask for a lawyer. And as long as they
if it's a minor, that's like a different story. I don't know. Please, lawyers, police, people, anybody knows, help us out. But they get split up. So Shauna has to go talk to Detective Syracusa, and then Callie gets pulled in with Kevin Tan.
That is interesting that they know that Callie lied to Syracusa, but to swap them, they each are speaking to the one that they don't really actually have the relationship with, which is
I thought the scene with Shauna, okay, huge. I mean, obviously, Melanie Lynskey, we all know she's a gem. She's a star. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. But I was fascinated by her conversation with Detective Syracusa, where she says, you're not an effing genius. I never wanted to be a mom. In fact, I didn't start out a bad person. But in case you haven't noticed, life doesn't turn out the way you think. You have a kid and you don't want to see you have a kid you don't want to save a marriage you got into out of guilt and shame. And then you just really can't let yourself love either of them. But of course you do. You love them despite yourself. You're just incredibly bad at it. This was so fascinating because I thought, being what we know about Shauna, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen her hold up a man at gunpoint talking about peeling human beings' skin off. I thought this was all very much a play. Like, at first, when the scene starts, I thought, oh, she's totally playing him. She's putting on the waterworks. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, blah, 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 blah. But this felt like the truth.
I think that sometimes people who are good at manipulating people can also use the truth to manipulate people. If that makes sense. Like she is manipulating, because if she wasn't manipulating him, she would say, yeah, I killed Adam. So
she's saying it was a bored housewife who wanted an affair. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that like this is where like, this is why she can put on such a good, like, what, you know, not good to put a show. I think she is like tapping into these real emotions to, you know, with the offhanded shits that she won't get caught for killing Adam. So I think it's like both, if that makes sense. I think it's both trying to manipulate the police and also tapping into this really vulnerable emotional state.
It makes me also wonder if Jeff even knows about the baby from the wilderness.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's that he does not. The only piece that maybe would say yes is that he's read the journals.
But maybe this is something that she either put in a separate journal or destroyed. Or I don't think he does. And the reason is, and again, this is like, I've never had a baby. Like, full disclosure, I don't know what that is like. I don't know what that is like on your body, on your heart, on any of those things. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine, after having such a traumatic experience in the wilderness as a teenager, like, it does make sense to me that Shauna wouldn't want another kid. And not saying other people would, you know, other people, you all make your own choices depending on like what you feel is right. If you want to be a parent, all of that, based on who we know Shauna to be as a character and what she says here, it very much feels like, after she goes through that, she doesn't want a kid, but she says here, like, out of,
she never wanted a kid.
Yeah. I did it out of, you know, to save a marriage that I got into out of guilt and shame. And then like, it's so fascinating that she does try to protect Callie in this moment where she says, leave my kid out of it. Mm-hmm. Right. She both puts Callie in such harm's way constantly this season.
Yeah.
And then tries to save her here. Yeah. And unfortunately, what she does is further dig a hole for Callie, because Callie has the exact opposite strategy, which, in my opinion, strategize before you go in there, folks. Figure out what the plan is before you even see the cops. But,
I'm with you. And I think that they're very complicated nature of Shauna coming back and then being with Jeff is there probably also for Jeff, who not only might want to have want to start a family, but for Shauna, there might be this complicated thing of, you know, I don't want a baby, and maybe also having a baby will, like, you know, I think for a lot of people get this idea that, like, maybe having a baby will actually fix things. Right. And I think a lot of, and that's, like, I feel like, not to say that that's exactly what Shauna is thinking. And there's no blame on Shauna for, like, having a baby and realizing that it, like, doesn't fix things, or, you know, I don't think this is actual, like, full text in the show, but I do feel like that's a, you know, that's a thing that, like, happens with, like, you know, when a lot of, like, marriages are working, it's like, let's have a baby, I'll fix things. Like, I don't know, they'll fix things. But there is this, like, societal pressure to, like, you know, I think it's like a get back to normal thing if you have this traumatic experience. And unfortunately, our society just dictates, as a very rigid standard of, like, what is normal. It's like, you get married and you have a baby and whatever, you know? And it's like the fact that, like, Shauna might even feel pressured, like, oh, I should do the thing that's normal, which is have a baby, but I don't really want to have a baby, but maybe it will fix things. Like, that's such a complicated, like, thing to, for, like, you know, a woman to have to go through. So yeah, I thought Melanie Lynskey absolutely nailed it. This scene where she's talking about it and knowing, you know, that it's the episode where she's having the baby in the wilderness is just, it's so sad. And yeah, Callie proving to have more guts than I ever thought.
She is showing more and more of her Shauna DNA.
How about
season.
I say that I slept with the cop?
Yep. Like, we'll see who a jury believes, especially when I describe his weird balls.
Kelly, stop it. Stop. Yeah. No, stop.
And you can see Kevin's face of, like, ugh, right? Like, yeah. So it's very interesting. They all gather back in the car, and this is when Jeff says, oh, I got a call from Ty. Everyone is gathering up at Lottie's wellness retreat.
So the thing is, Jeff trying to say hi to Van, and then they hang up the phone.
I'm not gonna lie, I rewound the scene where he says to Ty that, like, oh, it's, you know, sometimes those bathroom things take a while. Yes. Ty's face when he says that is so,
she's like, I'll just call back, and he's like, oh no, actually
she's gonna be a while in the bathroom, you know. So yeah, everybody is reunited, including Misty and Nat, who are reunited this episode. This is so fascinating. Obviously, Nat is going through a really tough time. Basically, she is feeling the guilt of Travis's death. She thought she, you know, she was trying to blame Lottie this whole time. And now she's blaming herself because she's the one who told Travis, like, the darkness came back with us. There's something all in us that's broken. And she feels very, very responsible for his death. And we get a little bit more of Lisa on the show saying, like, trying to basically teach Nat that, you know what, we're all suffering. It's meeting it with the compassion that's important. She leaves Nat with the 14th gilly, which was very dangerous because Nat nearly killed the poor fish. That scene was also very difficult for me to watch because they
holding the fish
linger
out
on the fish, just blubbing with nothing to breathe for too long. Grace.
Yeah. I was very happy to see her put the fish back in the bowl and then feed the fish. Yeah.
Me too. But I will say, Christina Ricci living her best life on this cult compound and like immediately wearing purple and like fitting right in really did tickle me.
Yeah, I thought definitely, you know, I thought, you know, sort of a lesser Misty episode, at least in the present day. I definitely, you know, she has this moment where she really steps up after not being able to step up to help try to deliver the baby. In the modern day, I kind of was thinking we'd get a little bit more Nat and Misty dynamic duo, which we didn't, which is okay. We're about to like enter all of them being together. Yeah, very fun. Her conversations at check-in and everything was very fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially like you said, the Misty and Ty hug and then Misty saying, oh, are you guys back together? So was very fun. Yeah, I do think we're going to get more of Misty and Nat. Although I have to say, I did find it very interesting when they first see each other and Nat asks Misty, oh, what happened to the guy that was with you? And she says, oh, he just went home. And Nat says, we're all like this, aren't we? Like, in my mind, that means like, we're all liars, aren't we? Like, we all are just like really, really bad liars who just say whatever we want to say without any sort of like thought of, you know, consequence, basically.
I think we're only probably on a one episode break from our boy, Walter. I think he's probably lingering around the outside of the compound.
It would surprise me if by episode 8 we don't have Walter
especially
back.
If Shauna is if Shauna is at the compound now and Walter is investigating Adam,
Yep.
Bad news.
Bad news, Bears. So that's our episode. That's where we leave off with everybody kind of back together in the present day timeline. Very exciting. I will say, like, for as hard as this episode was to watch, I was really pleased to see all of our like big name, massive like characters in the present day timeline reconnecting, especially we're going to get to see a lot of dynamics that we have never seen in adult versions of these characters, right? Like we're going to see Shauna and Lottie, Van and Lottie, mm-hmm. like a lot of these characters that we've never seen them interact. They're going to be interacting. So not only do we have four, we have six altogether, yeah. which is so thrilling. I feel like this, I hate to keep saying this. I don't want to harp on this so many times, but like, this is why I really don't understand the break between episodes 5 and 6. To me, you're better off pacing wise between 6 and 7, because this to me feels like, okay, now we're marking off this part of the season is done. Now the Yellow Jackets are together and we're going to see what havoc they can wreak for the next couple of episodes. That to me feels like a bigger moment to end on than Shauna giving birth. But you know, what do I know? I
feel like it wasn't a like, this is a good place to take a break. And we have to, I feel like it feels like, They were going to have to take a break last week for whatever reason. I don't know what that reason is, but it feels like they were going to have to take a break last week.
Yeah. But that was our episode. It was certainly a more difficult one, I would say. Like, not one of my favorites. And not, again, like, the baby eating thing felt very gratuitous in a way that I didn't need. And I'd also felt a little bit like I could have used probably one less scene of Shauna trying to feed the baby. Like, it felt like they were really hitting us over the head with that. And it felt like I could have used a little less of it, because especially when you're just going to like rip the rug out from under us and the baby is not alive.
You know, I did think when Nat comes in and realizes that the baby is feeding, and then she's like, oh, I'll go tell the others. And she's like, actually, can I just have this moment? I thought that was really sweet. And I know like it all gets upended because like the moment, you know, it doesn't really happen, and the baby eating and all of that stuff. But, you know, to be fair, it's probably been a while since they had baby back ribs, Jess.
Stop it, Grace.
If we need to edit that one out, you edit
no,
that one.
We're not.
I mean, I thought that was such a lovely moment of specific of like, actually, can I just have this one moment? And again, I get the point of like, yeah, maybe it's one too many of like trying, but I also, I don't know. I don't feel like I see a ton of, you know, maybe it's just the TV that I'm watching. I need to broaden my horizon, but this thing of like, of the challenges of breastfeeding, and like, you know, I think my mom has talked about like, she really had a hard time and was like really, I think, a little bit self-conscious. And if I have the story wrong, mom, if you're listening, apologies for that joke I made. Which is, my mom chose to use formula much quicker than a lot of, mm-hmm. You know, and decided that was like the best choice for her. And like, I respect, but it's not like there's formula out there in the wilderness, unless they did, which would have been very fortunate. But
yeah, a cabin guy really has formula. A lot of baby formula stocked up. Yeah, there is a lot of shame. Again, I'm not a mother. There is a lot of shame around like breastfeeding versus formula feeding.
Yeah,
a baby.
But people just hate women because it's just like, don't breastfeed in public, and also don't do formula.
Your baby. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's people find ways to make women have a hard freaking time. Is the point? But yeah, all of this to say, like, it was, I will say, like, again, credit to Sophie Nalisse in her performance. And also, like, for the most part, I felt like they handled it very well.
You know what? I'm just gonna, not that you weren't, but I want to give a shout out to all the other, like, teen actresses, because they all had to film a scene where, like,
our
friend just had a stillborn baby. Like,
that scene where they react to Shauna waking up, like, actually
Jasmine
waking up,
Savoy
not the
Brown
fake wake up.
Being right there for like, gosh,
so well done. Yeah, she's the only one who like stays right. They all kind of get up and walk away, and she hugs her and like,
which I feel like could feel mean, but I also think that's so good. I know, like, not the same example, but like sometimes at like summer camp and like a kid like gets hurt or something, and like everybody's like, you know, right there, like, and it's just like,
no, give them their,
like,
space.
Give space. So I actually, you know, I thought just the way all of that worked was like, yeah, it was really good. And yeah, props to them. I mean, they've had to film some challenging things on set, and I'm sure that would be up there.
Absolutely,
topping them off. And I do appreciate that. Like, yeah, it's a pretty raw look at, you know, Yeah, childbirth.
Yeah. To leave us off on a quick little teaser for the deep dive, I'm going to get into with Marissa. I feel like, and I'm going to have to listen to it a few times.
What would be
times.
The best part of a baby to eat?
No. Oh. I feel like when Shauna is being woken up in the dream sequence, right? Yeah. Like she wakes up and they hand her the baby, whatever. When you hear them say, Shauna, it sounds like Jackie's voice to me. And I think it is. And I'm going to have to re-listen to it a few times. Ooh, but shout out, if you hear it, tell me if you think it is Jackie's voice or not. Because to me, it sounds like it. And it reminds me of the dream sequence that we get when Jackie, everyone's like, I love you, Jackie. And then she dies. It kind of reminds me of that. So I'm going to have to re-listen to that scene as much as I don't want to have to. Just again, right. I'm going to go back and listen to that scene specifically. But of course, as I mentioned, this is not the only Yellow Jackets podcast this week. I'll be back with Marissa doing a deep dive. Josh and LT are going to be doing obviously their Versus podcast, which is going to be even more exciting this week because they actually have Yellow Jackets to compare to Succession.
kind of breaks the format showtime. Yeah. When you don't air an episode.
Yeah. But of course, if you want to send in feedback, if you have any theories, anything like that, pusherrecaps.com/buzz. If you want to subscribe, pusherrecaps.com/yellowjackets. And of course, if you want to be a patron, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If you also want to go to pusherrecaps.com/subscribe, it shows you kind of all the big shows that we're covering right now. Obviously, like Ted Lasso is on. It's all the big ones. Ted Lasso, Succession, Yellow Jackets. We got it all. Everything's coming out right now. Mm-hmm. But Grace, where can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
I am on Twitter @HiFromGrace. Here on Post Show Recaps, I'm talking about movies. We're doing a dark rewatch pod. You and I are also chatting Succession. And yeah, anything else I'm doing, you can follow me on Twitter @HiFromGrace, and I'll keep you updated.
You can find me @TheJessSterling. Of course, I'm mostly talking Succession and Yellow Jackets. You can also hear me on Shit 90s Shows Taught Me with Sarah Ferguson talking about 90s content. We are currently in the middle of Dawson's Creek season 6, which is such a mess, but like it's still fun to chat about. And of course, this month, we have a special theme because it's gonna be May. We're going to be talking all about musically inspired 90s films. So more on that later to come this month. But you can find us at Shit 90s Pod. And of course, we'll be back next week with episode 7 of Yellow Jackets. And until then, a licky boom boom down.